You are listening to the audio podcast of Gethsemane Baptist Church, located in Long Beach, California, pastored by Eli Reynolds.
Good morning and welcome back to our podcast, folks. This is Pastor Eli Reynolds. My wife, Faith, is here with me. We've been dealing with the theme of avoiding the fall this fall. And we've done several on this. We've enjoyed it. It's been great fun, and I hope it's been a blessing to you. So Faith, tell us about what we're talking about today.
Our topic today, if we could give it a title, is Misery Loves Company. Mm-hmm. And we get it from this verse, Proverbs 4:16. For they, and we're talking about a wicked person, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. So we've all heard the phrase, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. And this is similar. This person has already fallen, maybe a long time ago, and they're living in sin in some way. But he's not happy until he causes other people to fall into sin too. In fact, he's losing sleep over it.
You know, we see this in our world today. We have even seen it with John MacArthur, the pastor up here in Sun Valley, and how, you know, he took a stand saying, we're going to reopen our church. And the government came out, the California government came out against him very strongly because they're not going to back down. But then we saw they decided to look for ways to go after this man, after this pastor. And they found out that he had a parking lot that his church had rented for, what was it, 45 years?
Since the 70s, whatever that is.
Yeah, so long. And so then they decided not to let him have that anymore, and they were going to charge and all this stuff. They are on a mission, wicked people on a mission to bring him down.
And right, and we were talking about the health department that's doing this. They had to go back in their archives. They probably stayed up late, you know, losing sleep, trying to find how to get this man not to be able to have his religious freedoms.
Exactly. And this is the verse that we just read. It's right in the midst of this whole visual of what it's talking about of dealing with the paths of life. In verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Then verse 15, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away, for they sleep not, except they've done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall.
So advice is being given in these verses, counsel, like we talked about a couple times this month. There is a path that leads to sin. To get to the point where you are laying in bed, awake at night, trying to think, how can I bring other people down? That's kind of the end result here of this path. And the verse is saying, don't go anywhere near that path. If you see this terrible end, don't even get on that path.
And how much clearer does God need to be? You know, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away.
Very extreme on this.
Very clear. A preacher of yesteryear, F.B. Meyer, said, if we fall, it will only be due to our having refused to heed the voice that speaks to us from paragraphs like these. You know, that's how we fall. And you know, then comes our verse 16. Those who go down this path of sin, they've fallen into sin, and they're not getting back up. And you know, we saw about a righteous man. Hey, a righteous man falls seven times, but rises up again. The wicked falleth into mischief, and he stays down. And those type of people, when they're down, boy, they want others to be down there with them too.
Right. They fall into mischief, and now they want others to as well.
Right.
I think about our children, though I'm not actually calling them wicked, you know, in these verses. But if we tell one of them, hey, don't leave your candy wrapper on the coffee table, well, they will look around and find another sibling that has as well and say, well, so-and-so needs to take care of his too. It's not enough for them to be in trouble alone. Mm. They want to bring somebody else down with them. You know, they want to be in trouble together. I don't know. It goes back to that misery loves company.
Yeah. And you know, most people though, when they do commit a crime, they don't do it alone. Most people who start drinking, someone got them to do that, or smoking or doing drugs. They didn't start down this path of the wicked on their own.
So we hear misery loves company, but backsliddenness, I don't even know if that's a word that popped up on my spell check there. I didn't correct it. But backsliddenness, being backslidden, being away from God, that loves company too. And this truth, I think, is clear in the Bible, but why is that? Why does someone who is away from God want others to fall as well.
And we've talked about this before. And you know, we think it's that a backslidden person doesn't feel as guilty for their sin if they can get somebody else to join them. It justifies their actions. And for some people, it seems like it's their mission in life. And we need to be careful of this and be aware of this, that there are literally people out there that their mission in life is to get Christians to fall, specifically Christians. They want to show that everybody is the same. And you know, even Christians, you say you believe this or blah, 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 and but everybody's the same and you'll eventually fall too and you're going to quit on God. And it just for their own benefit is what they think.
Right, and it seems like this would be maybe the mission of the unsaved person, maybe, you know, the Church of Satan or something. But in fact, saved people act this way too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a worldliness. And, you know, they're carnal. But they think they'll feel better about what they did if they can get you to do it too.
You know, nobody has to prove to us that we're all sinners. You don't have to make Christians fall to prove. We'll freely admit that we're all sinners. The Bible already said it. There's no argument that we're making about that. But God gives grace and the means to resist any temptation. We're not all destined to fall into sin and ruin our lives. And, you know, God has given us grace to do that. And also, we should be giving that grace to others as well, though.
Right, but when you hear about, you know, one person's marriage fell apart, that doesn't mean yours is going to.
Right.
You don't know what went on behind the scenes. They weren't just destined to fail. There were choices there on both sides. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, a person goes back on their convictions that they once had. This doesn't mean that you have to.
Right.
You know, we are not above sin. We understand that. We will sin. We will all fall. But we have our own choices to make. And we have our own personal relationship with God. There are many, many Christians throughout all these years who have stayed faithful till the end.
It's very true. But when you think about even this whole thing of grace and, you know, that I was talking about a second ago, these people who are coming after Christians, they will show no grace or mercy, but they want that grace. And want that mercy in their own life. And they expect everyone to just completely understand their failures. Have you noticed, though, that this area of misery loves company, it kind of moves into other areas of our life as well. And one kind of humorous one I can think about is diets. You know, diets. You know, you can go to a birthday party and have in mind, you know, I'm not going to eat the cake. I'm gonna try to stay on this diet. But then even when you're at the party, there will be people that find out you're on the diet, and it's like their mission to get you to eat that cake. Oh, you know, you'll enjoy it. It's so good. You don't need to be, and all this stuff. Why do they do that? I'll tell you why they do that, because that means if they can get you to eat, they won't feel as bad about eating that cake.
And honestly, anybody who has dieted like that, they know. And it's hard to even understand, like, you know, why do you feel better when I eat the cake?
Why do you want me to fall?
Yeah. It really doesn't make sense. Really, other people should just say, oh, I'm going to eat the cake and I admire your willpower.
Right.
But no, it becomes their goal that you must eat this. And even among you and I, if we're trying to have a healthier way of eating, you are such a tempter. Hun, you'll be sitting on the couch and say, hey, what do you think about me going to get us some ice cream? Would you eat some ice cream if I got it?
Doesn't sound like me at all.
And I'll look into it. Stop tempting me. If you want ice cream, go get ice cream. But what it is you don't want to sin alone. Do you?
Sin,
the sinfulness of ice cream.
I do know that, you know, if I can get you to want a Starbucks or whatever, I won't feel nearly as bad.
Right. You will feel justified about, you know, breaking the decision to eat healthy. And this happens. This happens a lot. You know, it's if I'm going to go back on my decision, then I want someone else to join me, right?
You're not saying it happens a lot with us. You're saying it happens a lot in general, right?
Maybe, you know, I've heard it both ways.
Okay.
But this verse that we're talking about, you know, these wicked people laying in bed at night trying to figure out how they can cause you to fall. This verse is really the end result of the path of the wicked. It's at the very end of the path. So many people I know personally that used to be a Christian, involved in church, serving God, but now quit. They now actively criticize others that are still serving God.
And what good does that do? I mean, what's the motive there? It's like it's their mission to bring down faithful Christians. Is that what they want? To prove that everyone's as miserable as them? You know, I've heard people say church is so legalistic, which, by the way, I think people really misdefine what legalism is. But they say, oh, it's just a bunch of rules at church. I think, you know, what a shame that that's what church was for them, that they looked at church and thought, what a bunch of rules. You know, that's not what church is for me. Any belief that I have, and any belief that you have, wife, and any belief that anybody listening has, should be able to be backed up with Scripture. And I believe I can back up what I believe with Scripture. And it's sad that these people that are so angry really never learned how to do that.
Right. I think, you know, we have one life. And if I'm going to spend that life serving God, I need to know why I'm serving Him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not just going to be because my parents did or that's Absolutely. How I was raised. You know, I'm not going to give that life just because someone told me to. You know, I've got to back it up by Scripture. But just because these people that used to be in church, maybe they only focused on the Christianity that people could see, that doesn't mean that all Christians do.
Right.
You and I can still focus on the personal relationship with Christ that we're supposed to be. But they want to lump all Christians into the same shallow, fake Christianity that they had, so that now their choice to quit on God looks like the right one.
Yeah, and you know, they also use it as an excuse to just live however they want to live. You know, I can go to the beach on Sunday, dress however I want, be drinking, and I, you know, but I'm just being real. The people at church, you guys are the real fakes. No, that's just a ploy. It's just a ploy to get other Christians to fall, again, just because they want to justify themselves and their actions and make it to where they don't look so bad in their own eyes.
Right. If you or I turn out to be a fake or a hypocrite or, you know, living in sin secretly, then they look better. That's, you know, that's kind of the idea. Now, this is where the path of the wicked leads. But Proverbs 4:18, just a couple verses later, it says, but the path of the just, that's the Christian, is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The ever-increasing brightness of a good man's life. Mm. That's what this verse is talking about.
Right.
The more we serve the Lord, we walk with Him, the more He blesses us. And if that wasn't enough, we get to look forward to rewards in heaven as well.
Yeah, I was telling our Bible class today about studying the Bible and things of Christianity. There's no negatives to it.
There's not.
You know, here on this earth and in the next life. And you think about the blessings of a godly life. A life lived for Jesus is worth getting back up for again and again. Oh, you know, I keep falling. Yeah, a righteous man falls, but keep getting back up because the life is worth living. And so, you know, there's a practical takeaway of this. And maybe, you know, the folks that are listening to our podcast from our church, you're not out there on social media blasting people and all that, but you probably know people who are. And the takeaway is just a couple verses later. Proverbs 4:26 says this, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established.
Right. The thing is, we cannot change worldly backslidden Christians. Mm. But we can make sure that we are not going on that path.
That we don't become one.
Yes.
Right.
Don't waste your time, you know, being angry and mad at all of these people. You just make sure you don't become that way.
Right.
And so we talked about two paths today, the path of the wicked and the path of the just. And the takeaway is this, ponder the path of thy feet, like you just read. Look very carefully at what path you are on.
And you think about the path of the wicked. Look at that life. It is darker and darker and darker. What misery and what sadness must people feel to live that way?
It's empty.
And when you look at the path of the just, what does the Bible say about it? It's brighter and brighter. And we're not here to just bash people that are bashing Christians. No, we're just shedding a light on it.
And the truth is that anybody who chooses to could become a Christian and could live for the Lord.
And those that are backslidden could get right with God and have the brightness in their life again.
Yes, yes, they could. And we have seen many come back
oh, yeah.
and enjoy the joy of, yes. of their Savior again. I've seen cartoons, old cartoons, and someone would be in quicksand, you know, a pit of quicksand, and they're sinking slowly in that sand. And right next to them is a sign that says quicksand.
Yeah.
And it's like, how could you fall into that pit when it literally says quicksand, mm-hmm. right? Well, there are signs all along the path of the wicked. There are signs that lead to that type of life. Mm. So we need to ponder the path of our feet. Be vigilant. Look for signs that you're heading for a fall.
And the thing about falling is nobody just up and falls into sin. It's a progression. And it's often as slow as quicksand. And I'd encourage you today, stay vigilant to the path that you're on. You know, be on guard. Don't let discord, don't let gossip, don't let that wrong spirit get into your life, and be on guard on what you let come into your mind. And what really comes into our minds and vexes us, the Bible says, is by what we see and by what we hear.
Right. And a lot of times in Proverbs, it talks about the end of the wicked. Well, if you want to avoid that destination, don't get on the path that leads there.
Yeah, exactly.
You want to end up like the just with more and more blessings and avoid the fall of the wicked. Then put more and more good in your life, less and less bad. It sounds simple, but truly, it is a choice. It is a simple choice.
Simple doesn't mean easy.
It doesn't, no.
Right. And our wrap up today, just to remind you here, you know, what path are you on? And, you know, is it a wicked path? Is there darkness and more darkness in your life because of what you're doing or what you're reading or what you're watching? Or is it the path of the just, which is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect days? Don't be someone who's miserable and wants to include everyone else in it. Let's live for the glory of God. Let's live in the light. Okay, Faith, tell us about our giveaway.
Next week is the week our path has been leading to this, and we are going to be doing a drawing for a $25 gift card to your favorite restaurant. So be sure and email us your name and your favorite restaurant to be entered into the drawing.
Gethsemane.info@gmail.com. That is the email address you need to email. Again, that's Gethsemane.info@gmail.com. We love you folks dearly. Thank you so much for listening in. Have a wonderful week for the Lord, and we will see you again next Friday.